This is ARRL Audio News, your weekly summary of news highlights from the world of amateur radio. If you retransmit audio news through a repeater, listen for the Morse code K character, followed by 4 seconds of silence. That's your cue to stop transmitting so that your repeater timer can reset.
Okay, hello and welcome. I'm Rick Lindquist, WW1ME. And this is ARRL Audio News for Friday, May 7th, 2021. ARRL member and Edmondson County, Kentucky Emergency Coordinator Tim Skies, K9KSP, a firefighter in Brownsville, Kentucky, was among those responding to an April 23rd fire dispatch call he heard on his ham station scanner that reported a possible drowning in the Green River. Radio traffic indicated that the potential victim was a 40-year-old man. Skies told ARRL that after assessing the information provided by family members at the scene, he went downriver approximately 300 yards, located the victim in the water, washed up on a shallow rock shoal in the river. He waded out to the victim, dragged him to the riverbank, and as other responders showed up and came to where the victim was, he was pulled up the bank of the river. The man was suffering exposure and hypothermia from being in the cold water for hours, and he was later transported to the hospital. Ski says the incident stands as a testament to the need for hams to get involved with emergency services and foster good working relationships with emergency managers and local agencies. The International Space Station's SpaceX Crew 1 mission, with astronauts Michael Hopkins, KF5LJG, Victor Glover, KI5BKC, Shannon Walker, KD5DXB, and Tsuichi Noguchi, KD5TVP, splashed down safely in the Gulf of Mexico on May 2nd. It marked NASA's first nighttime splashdown since 1968, the first ever from the ISS, and the first operational mission for SpaceX. Launched last November to carry the crew to the ISS, the Crew Dragon spacecraft Resilience returned the crew to Earth. Crew 1 is the first of 6 crewed missions, NASA said. Upon their arrival back on Earth, SpaceX mission control official Michael Hyman greeted the astronauts with this quip.
Dragon, on behalf of NASA and the SpaceX teams, we welcome you back to planet Earth, and thanks for flying SpaceX. For those of you enrolled in our frequent flyer program, you have earned 68 million miles on this voyage.
At SpaceX, Resilience, it is back on planet Earth, and we'll take those miles. Are they transferable?
And Dragon will have to refer you to our marketing department for that policy.
In advance of departure from the space station, Crew 1 astronaut and station commander Walker handed over command of the station to astronaut and Crew 2 member Akihito Hoshide during last week's change of command and farewell event. In addition to the crew, Resilience will return important time-sensitive research to Earth. While still in space, some of the returning astronauts had hosted amateur radio and International Space Station contacts with schools. We heard Victor Glover speak with youngsters in Australia last week. ARRL is an ARRIS sponsor. This is ARRL Audio News, heard in Glendale Heights, Illinois, Thursdays at 9 p.m. on the 444-875 repeater. Time now for the AMSAT report. We're hearing more often about satellites coming alive after periods of sleep. This week, we learned that PSAT-2, also known as NO-104, has once again started working after 8 months of quiet. Bob Bruninger, WB4APR, says the CubeSat's developers have no idea why. The telemetry looks fine. Okay, here's the real news. NO-104 will not be in APRS mode, but in a brand new experimental mode that offers DTMF uplink and voice downlink. DTMF tones are also known as touch tone signals. DTMF stands for dual tone multi-frequency. To work the satellite, load your grid and call sign into a 16-digit DTMF memory in your radio. When the satellite hears it, it will assign a QSO number and QSL the grid by voice, and then generate an APRS packet for collection by APRS operators. To QSL, you key in the station's two-digit QSL number, and then dump your preloaded QSL DTMF message. Successful DTMF grids and messages will appear on a special URL on the PSAT page, aprs.org/psat2.html. You'll also find a manual on how to use this new mode at that website. The up and down link frequency is 145.980 MHz. Just another way to use this CubeSat, and a most interesting one. Give it a try and see how you like it. The MSAT report comes to us each week, courtesy of Bruce Page, KK5DO. The IEEE Committee on Man and Radiation, COMAR, has issued an invitation to its webinar, RF Exposure in the Time of Conspiracies. The one-hour event is set to get underway at 1800 UTC on Wednesday, May 12th. COMAR is a group of experts on health and safety issues related to electromagnetic fields from power line through microwave frequency ranges. Its primary focus is on biological effects of non-ionizing electromagnetic radiation. COMAR Chair Rick Tell, K5UJU, explains the purpose of the webinar this way. The real idea is to highlight some of the news articles, comments, and so forth that purport to declare the hazardous nature of exposure to weak RF fields, such as those posed by new 5G wireless communications base stations, explain how they are not scientifically based, and possibly some ideas on how to better communicate what we really know about potential health effects. Presenters are professional engineer Matt Butcher, KC3WD, and Gerald Bushberg, a clinical professor of radiology and radiation oncology at the University of California Davis School of Medicine. He's an expert on the biological effects, safety, and interactions of ionizing and non-ionizing radiation. Both men are COMART members. Butcher and Tell are also members of the ARRL RF Safety Committee. ARRL RF Safety Committee Chair Greg Lappin, N9GL, said the committee devotes a lot of time to examining the science to help keep people safe, but he added, there remains considerable fear in our society about that exposure. It would be to our benefit to understand what people are thinking. The webinar is free. Okay, in our It Doesn't Hurt to Ask department comes this item. The Wireless Institute of Australia, the WIA Spectrum Strategy Committee, has called for more amateur radio spectrum in the 3 to 12 megahertz range. The committee raised the issue in its response to Australia regulator ACMA's 5-year Spectrum Outlook 2021. The WIA committee said global demand for HF amateur spectrum has grown, particularly since the start of the COVID-19 pandemic, and congestion, particularly on 40 meters from both legitimate and unauthorized transmissions, is often severe during times of increased ionospheric propagation. The committee pointed out that heightened global tensions have increased the use of high-power HF radars over the horizon radars that frequently disrupt HF amateur communications across large segments of spectrum. The WIA, Australia's IARU member society, intends to seek expansions to amateur bands in the 3 to 12 megahertz segment over the next 5 years, at least for Australian amateurs, in alignment with international allocations, although the WIA acknowledges that this is a lower priority than other items it has proposed. The 3 to 12 megahertz spectrum is already home to 4 amateur allocations, 80 and 75 meters, 60 meters, 40 meters, and 30 meters. ARRL Audio News is heard in Allen, Indiana, Wednesdays at 9:15 p.m. on the 14694 repeater, courtesy of the Fort Wayne Radio Club. International Amateur Radio Union Region 1, that's Europe, Africa, Mideast, and Northern Asia, is encouraging radio amateurs everywhere to express their opinions on the future of amateur radio. Raisa Skrinnikova, R1BIG, is featured in a video to drum up interest in the survey now underway in advance of an IARU Region 1 workshop on the subject later this year.
Hello, I am Raisa, R1BIG, just upgraded for a full license. I will take part in the IARU Region 1 workshop on the future of amateur radio. Our modern and fascinating hobby is not only for men. I will share my ideas to help us growing. Do you want to help us too? Please contact your national society.
While this is an IARU Region 1 initiative, there's no reason why radio amateurs in the other two regions shouldn't participate. IARU said that as a first step, work is already underway to develop an understanding of the current state of amateur radio in each country. The input of the amateur community is vital for the success of this workshop, IARU said. Ham Census is inviting all radio amateurs to take part in a unique survey. The project's organizers are hoping to hear from hams in the U.S., Canada, and around the world. Survey questions deal with operating preferences, equipment, your shack, views on regulation, clubs and associations, and the future of amateur radio. Jim Alyanak, K3MRI, the co-administrator of Ham Census and Ham Community, says the aim of the census is to give operators a louder voice to better inform club leaders, associations, manufacturers, and regulators. We all want the amateur radio community to grow organically and collaboratively, and for that we need to know what operators are thinking, he said. Divided into six parts, Ham Census runs year-round, delivering constant updates. Taking and using the survey is free, but only those completing all six sections will get access to the complete results. Visit Ham Census at www.hamcensus.org. And that's ARRL Audio News for Friday, May 7th, 2021. For details on these and other amateur radio news happenings, visit the ARRL website, www.arrl.org, or better yet, subscribe to the weekly ARRL letter via your ARRL website member profile. For now, I'm Rick Lindquist, WW1ME73, and we'll see you next time.
ARRL Audio News is produced by the American Radio Relay League, the National Association for Amateur Radio. For more information on amateur radio or the ARRL, visit us on the web at arrl.org. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter by searching for ARRL. If you have a question or comment about ARRL Audio News, email us at audionews@arrl.org. This program is copyright ARRL, all rights reserved. 73, and thanks for listening.